The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. It is a Thursday. Welcome to it. Today got off to a very, very strange start. Because as you know, I'm in South Florida. And I awoke this morning to the news of a building collapse on Collins Avenue in a town called, Surfside, I believe. A little town that's just north of Miami Beach, just as you go up Collins Avenue or A1A or the beach, you know, the road that runs parallel to the ocean. Just north of Miami Beach, the town called, I think it's Surfside. This building, this 12-story building, a condo apparently, with 80 to 100 apartments in it, collapsed. Just collapsed. This was at around... what time was it? It was like 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that. So, you know, sadly, that's when everyone was sleeping. I've got a video, and this is astounding. CNN ran this, and it's from a security camera on another building across the way from the building that collapsed. So I'm going to bring up the video. For those of you who are watching one of the streams, one of the video streams that we're on, and it is just, it's devastating. So, all right, I'm putting the picture up on the screen, and you can see the shot, the building straight across on the other side of the pool from what the picture we're looking at, just goes down. Here, I'm gonna hit play so you'll see it, and it just starts collapsing. So, there's like three parts to the building. So the middle part fell first. And then the building on the right, like the tower on the right, fell. And I guess on the left, there's another piece of the building still standing. And that's where firefighters went and took their ladders and went up and rescued, I believe, somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 people. One child was pulled from the rubble, a 10-year-old boy pulled from the rubble. And, we have a guest coming up who just told me he'll be here in 5 minutes. So a child was pulled from the rubble, and now they're saying that there are upwards of 99 to 100 people missing. And just moments ago, the last time I checked, there was smoke. The buildings that collapsed into a huge rubble pile, and there was smoke coming from the pile where apparently there was a fire inside. And it's devastating, and it's heartbreaking, because now all I can think of is there were people still grasping down in that mess somewhere. Let me use my phone and then I can access now. Okay. Sorry, he's texting me. So I want to tell you who this is. So we'll get back to that in a little bit, though. I don't have any news to give you. I have no news to tell you about it other than we're waiting to find out what happened. And it's horrible. It's just awful. So my heart goes out to those people. But I got to tell you what happened. The other thing that I saw first thing this morning when I awoke was a story about a graduation. A graduation that kind of happened, but didn't happen. So let me back up a little bit while we wait for our guests to come here and I can give you the background. So again, you know, I live in South Florida. I live in a town called Coral Springs. The next town over that is sort of Coral Springs' sister city is called Parkland. You've heard of Parkland only because there was this mass shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. It was Valentine's Day. It was February 14th, 2018. And so I was on the air that day. I remember so horribly. I remember somebody coming into the chat room and saying, "Nicole, there's an active shooter right near you." And sure enough, I saw Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School and my heart stopped. It dropped. I felt sick because I knew what was going on. And sure enough, the worst thing imaginable happened. And living in a town, living in Coral Springs is, you know, is living in Parkland. We share a fire department. We share a police department. It is our sister city. And kids that live in Coral Springs go to school at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. Well, this year, this graduation year, just a week or two ago, Joe Biden actually sent a message to the graduating seniors. The seniors who graduated were freshmen in 2018 when the shooting took place. So you can just imagine the emotions, not only in the kids there, but the community, everybody around them. Well, living here, you know, we live in this. This has been our reality for the last few years. There have been some lovely memorials to I don't want to call them victims, to the people who were there, to the people who lived through this, to the people who did not live through it. And we've gotten to know so many of those, the people, both the survivors and their families and the families of the people who didn't survive. I obviously have a hard time talking about this because it is so emotional, because it is right here. But I got to tell you, I woke up this morning to a video that just blew my mind. And I tweeted it out and I said, whatever you're doing, stop what you're doing. And for the next 2 minutes, I want you to watch this video. And in fact, I see our guest is here, Manuel. In fact, let me bring you in right now before we play the video. Manuel Oliver, thank you so much for joining us today. And I got to say, because this is the first time we're really talking, I'm so sorry for your loss. You lost your son in the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School.
Thank you. Thank you for your words. And I lost my beautiful son, Joaquin, my best friend. And it's, there is no way to explain the feeling and the pain.
No way at all. But I got to say, you are an artist. You are an amazing artist. You paint and you do these incredible visual works, and you have channeled the loss of your son and the energy surrounding everything going on in your life now into making life better for kids and using your art as a way to get the message across. I know you did a show a couple of years ago, a touring show. That was, I have it here somewhere. What was it called? Guac, My Son, My Hero. Yes?
Correct. Yeah. We did. I don't know if you want to finish a sentence, but the whole point was to add more options of explaining to people what happened and how to prevent it and how hard it is to move on, but you can still, you don't have many options, put it that way.
No.
We wrote a one-man show. We were able to go on tour, and then COVID hit, so we needed to stop the tour. And then because we do this, and no one is this is not a company, this is not a corporation, like it is not a business. This is about a way of understanding to live in a totally new perspective of what life means.
Right.
And we needed to create other things by staying home. So
okay,
we did
so
the campaigns.
I gotcha. So now you had formed an organization called Change the Ref. It's at changetheref.org. And I love the goal of this. It says your tagline is empowering future leaders. So this is working with kids to show them that you can get past this, that you can go on with a productive life. You've chosen to go forward in a very positive way and to work with young people. And I find that just amazing. And it's through, under, I guess, the umbrella of Change the Ref that you did this project that was the reason for me to call you today. And I'm going to play this video, but I want you to set it up. So you and your wife, Patricia, are the founders of ChangeTheRef.org. And did you, you're the one who put together this, the graduation for the lost class?
We did. That's our latest campaign. Yeah, it came out. We launched it yesterday morning, and we planned it for the last 2 months. And yeah, that's us.
Okay, well, let's play it, and then we'll talk about it afterwards, because I want everyone to see it. Now, I know a lot of my listeners already saw it because I tweeted it out. I put it on Facebook. I've been telling everybody I saw. This is so incredibly powerful. And I love that you did this. It was done in a magnificent manner. And so because we're on video, but we're also audio only, we're radio, I'm going to read first the text that shows up on the screen so I don't interrupt the flow of the audio and what happens in this 2 minute long video. On the screen, what you would see throughout the course of the video, it says, David Keen was invited to speak to this year's high school graduates. Everything you're about to see actually happened. It was June 4th, 2021 in Las Vegas. David Keen was the president of the NRA 2011 to 2013, and he is currently a board member. David has raised millions of dollars to block universal background checks. He has helped keep assault weapons on the street. What he can't do is bring these students back to life. 3,044 high school seniors from this year's graduating class died from gun violence. This is the lost class of 2021. No matter how compelling David thinks his speech is, he will never get these students' ovation. And then at the end, there's a link that we'll give you to sign the petition for universal background checks. By the way, the link, just so you know, is thelostclass.com, and that's where you can find this video. And I'm going to play it for you now. And hold on 1 second. I've got audio coming back, and I want to make sure this is pristine. Give me just 1 second here. I'm sorry. All right. So here we go. This is the video. You launched it yesterday. And, well, it kind of speaks for itself. Here we go.
The two-time president of the National Rifle Association. He continues to be a staunch defender of your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. Therefore, it is my privilege to introduce to you David Keen.
Let me begin by telling you what an honor it is to be here to help celebrate your graduation. Picture for a minute the young James Madison, for whom this school is named. This year, you focused on one of the most important of Madison's amendments, the Second Amendment. There are some who continue to fight to gut the Second Amendment, but I'd be willing to bet that many of you will be among those who stand up and prevent them from succeeding.
911 is your emergency.
Defending it is a challenge and a duty that Americans like you.
Students
go to
high school.
They were shooting into my classroom.
Who understand what has made the country the envy of the world must accept as their own.
Okay, is anybody injured?
Yes, a lot of blood. Please help, please.
An overwhelming majority of you will go on to college, while others may decide their dream dictates a different route to success.
School.
Okay, do you know how many people are injured?
So my advice to you is simple enough. Follow your dream and make it a reality.
My son is in Stoneman Douglas.
My daughter just texted me from school. She's at Stoneman Douglas.
And never for a minute doubt that you can achieve that dream. Thank you.
It is, it's moving. It is so powerful. Manuel Oliver, I have a hard time listening to that. I don't know how you do it. You made that video. You produced that event. You invited that man from the NRA to come. And this was ostensibly a rehearsal for the graduation for this fictitious school that doesn't exist. Just every element of this is brilliant, yet I hear those voices and I hear those gunshots and my insides collapse. thank you for doing this. First of all, how did you come up with this idea?
Well, the credit goes to a whole team. This is more than a one person job, of course. And we have done campaigns like this one since the very beginning of the whole tragedy, the aftermath of the partner shooting. My wife, Patricia, and myself, we refuse to think that this is something normal and we should accept it and move on and have a happy Corpus Christi and partner life. Sometimes we have to fight the community and make them understand that this is not something that we already know it won't happen again.
Like, no.
And I want to make a point that it might be, and then we can go back to the video, but this okay. is so important that
yes.
Communities like Parkland sometimes think that it's better to forget what happened. And that way people won't relate the city to a mass shooting in a school. There's a few reasons for this. One of them, which is the worst one, is what that will hurt, how that will hurt property values.
Oh, man.
For example.
Wow.
And if you're from around the area, you will see how the school where 17 people were killed, it became a place where some local business plays their banners
yep.
with their company numbers and names and services.
That's right.
So just because we look at this as a big picture that is hurting the whole nation, that is the only reason we haven't been attacking these local battles. But that doesn't mean that it's okay that school, that building is still there standing in front of everyone. And those billboards, those signs are hanging on that fence.
Right.
I think that's immoral. I think that's unethical. And I think that should be shameful for anyone that lives in Parkland or Coral Springs.
Yes.
All right.
I agree. And I've noticed the same thing. Driven by, I've seen the new building is up. It went up very quickly. But the old that building is still standing.
Because this is America, and we believe it or not, the support is limited. And I'm not asking anyone to do to use art or to do the things that Patricia and I do. Period. You don't have to. You don't have to even suffer what we went through. But you should understand as a community that. So far, we haven't done anything that will make things different. Okay, there is nothing different. We there is a lot of concern about the security inside the school. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? We have a lot of neighborhoods close to Parkland where gun violence is a daily situation,
mm-hmm.
not only inside the school. And I can't stop about thinking about that. And there is also the fact that. There's a lot of we had an activation inside Publix right here in Parkland 2 years ago, and we saw how a counter group of people supporting the NRA in Parkland were somehow defeated, like trying to fight us back. So let's move. Apart the fact that we got a lot of support from the community, it's total bullshit. It's not true. But I have other problems bigger than that one. Okay. And the video that you just showed explains the problem that I have and the size of this fight.
Yeah.
This fight is way beyond Parkland.
Oh yeah.
You just described it exactly how it happened. We were able to invite these two leaders, influencers from the gun industry to bring a speech to what should be 3,044 students graduating. They didn't realize that everything was a trick. They didn't check. They didn't do any background check of the school.
Because the school doesn't exist.
School doesn't exist. Their ego was beyond that. Mm. And there is no additions in that video. Everything, every single word was said and signed by that person. We got those speeches in advance.
Wow.
Again, we have release forms from both of them. And it's just showing our reality. And that's what we do. We need to show Parkland. We need to show Coral Springs. And I keep mentioning these two because of your program, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I was sending the same message to CNN this morning and MSNBC last night.
I saw.
This is a national epidemic that it only happens in the United States of America.
Right.
When I say that, I am being totally honest with you. The amount of guns versus the amount of people, the fact that we have more guns than people, that is incredible. And there is no other place in the planet that could understand that reality.
Right.
We have a gun industry that has been sending lies and manipulation to citizens in order to put guns beyond kids and beyond citizens. It's time to put a stop on that, and we have to check. We have to try different things. What we did yesterday is our latest way of doing it. We're gonna, and you have no idea how many emails we have received since yesterday.
Oh, I believe
supporting,
it.
Supporting what we did.
Awesome.
Like people that probably after watching this video felt, oh, well, wait a minute. They're mm-hmm. not so powerful.
Right.
Look at that.
Yeah, look
at
these.
We can do the same. We can fight them back. And that's the main point of this campaign.
And it's awesome.
We need to make sure that they understand. And by they, I don't want anyone being confused. I'm talking about the gun industry. I am talking about the NRA, talking about the gun lobby. All of them need to understand that our loved ones mean way more than their guns and their dirty business behind the gun industry.
Any day of the week, every day of the week. Manuel Oliver is with us. A couple of questions for you. I'm glad the response has been overwhelming. I thought it would be. When I saw this, again, my jaw dropped. I got goosebumps. I jumped out of my seat. I still do because I've watched it at least half a dozen times now. And when those shots ring out at the end, I feel sick to my stomach because we know what happened. You hear those voices, those kids calling their parents. I just, you know, my daughter graduated the year before from Coral Glades High School. And you internalize, you go, oh my God, there, but for the grace of God, go I. This is so close. And this was our community. And this is your son who, you know, we got to know. I mean, that his nickname was Guac and that everybody only had the most wonderful things to say about him. It sounds like you raised an amazing young man. And I can't even imagine what you're going through. So you put this event together. And I can imagine that just the feelings that you had going through it. And you're an artist, so you look at the whole picture of it. Can I ask what happened after their run through that you videotaped and then no graduates showed up? Did you talk with him and explain what was going on, what this was about?
I did not. I part of the whole logistic was not neither Patricia or me showing ourselves because we could somehow be recognizable,
right?
And then everything will just not happen. So I did not, and this is not about them,
right?
You know,
no, like, it's not.
I don't care. I don't care how they felt. I know how I have an idea of how much pain Joaquin felt.
Yes.
Don't. Maybe you were thinking that I was going to say, I know how much pain I feel. No, I don't care about that either.
It's
I don't care about how I feel every time I think about my son being shot four times. How long is that process of dying? Is it fast? Is it immediate? Is it painful? So I need to have these conversations. Because you just said it, I did raise a great young man.
Yeah.
But now our roles have flipped. And Joaquin, it's helping me to become a better father. I lost my son, but I never lost my role as a father. And once I noticed it, that once I was 100% convinced that, wait a minute, you're still Joaquin's dad. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep on using the same strategies that people have been trying for decades and nothing has changed? No. What are you good for? What are you and your wife good for? Oh, you can paint? Great. You can do, you're creative. You can speak. You can speak in Spanish. You can be, okay, so let's do all that together. And I'm not telling you that that's the solution and there is no pain at the moment. But again, everything is about the pain that a victim from gun violence suffers during that process of losing their lives.
Right.
So no, none of these guys' opinion of how they felt in Vegas, because it was too uncomfortable to be part of this, really matters to me or should matter to anybody.
And I hear you. And I get it. And I'm just wondering if they, if this moved them at all the way it moved me, seeing those thousands of seats empty, spread out on that Las Vegas field. No,
not at all. They thought that they were there in different moments and it was planned that way. And they thought that, it was a rehearsal and we needed to check volume and we will take some shots of them and the whole event will happen tomorrow. So they got a call later that same day. Hey, we had to stop the event. It's not going to happen and forget it. And they didn't even mind. But I don't have details of that. I didn't.
Right.
That was not my.
That's not the point of it, right?
This is not about, and I said it this morning, I don't want to brag that we were able to do this to two influential members of the NRA. No.
No, this is to get a message across.
Exactly. I want to point out that we can beat these people with the right strategies, with the right, we have the truth, you know, we are holding the truth. So if we do things in the right way, knowing that that everything that we're saying is the truth and protecting our loved ones, the result is this one. They will look like they look right now after you watch that video.
Right. And they look like just what they are.
Exactly.
And we don't even have to say what they are. We know what they are. Just how that man looked speaking to that crowd of empty chairs. We know that those chairs are empty because this is, as you call it, the lost class. Because these kids will never graduate. They don't get to graduate because his work, his actions deprived them of that. Deprived you of your son. It's just horrendous.
Exactly.
Right.
These guys are part of a problem, you know? Like, they're not excluded of the they did a lot of damage for decades bringing that message. I don't know how many times both of them had the chance to speak to kids in graduation acts. I have no idea, but I believe this is not the first time they were willing to do that.
Right.
So it's it's a toxic message, and we can't take that as a. Well, I mean, we deserve better. We deserve better,
without
a
doubt.
In one of the speeches, John Knott mentions that he has never seen any place. Name me one place in the planet that has banned assault weapons and put background checks in place, and they have decreased crime.
Australia. So, I mean, I
could, no, that's one.
That's one. You can name
50.
Right. Of course.
50. But they believe this, you know. This is the same guy that wrote "More Guns, Less Crime," which is the Bible of the NRA.
Oh,
so
man,
we have to share this information with good people, and at some point soon, not immediately, but soon. There will be no argument from their side. It will be just like in any other nation, something that people won't buy. And it's just like the tobacco industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly like the tobacco industry. There was a few years ago, you were able to smoke a cigarette and no one will bother you.
Right.
And that's fine. And at some point, society decided to, wait a minute, this is killing people. It's disgusting. And it's expensive to the nation. So we got to do something about it.
Right.
And look at them today. Look at the tobacco industry and the tobacco lobby today.
So that's possible. So, but the thing is, we don't have the time. We don't have the luxury of time. Not that cigarette smokers did either, but we don't. Just look at the last couple of weeks. The number of mass shootings is frightening. It's more than frightening. It's terrifying. So, Manuel, I know you've spoken with Joe Biden. Have you spoken to him since he's been in office?
I have. No, we had two meetings, brief meetings, while he was in his campaign. And the last time I saw the president, he told us that he appreciated what we were doing, and we needed to keep on working, each of us on our aisle, like, and he will do the best he could to fight against these the gun manufacturers. He mentioned the gun manufacturers, which I think is a great way to address this problem, and that we should keep on doing what we do. So that's why we are. You don't see me wearing a tie, wearing a suit in D.C., like knocking doors.
Mm-hmm.
I leave that part to my good friend. He's great at doing that, so he can keep on doing that. This is more a social, and as you describe it, at some point for the youth, we are trying to empower the new generation that is emerging. It's already powerful enough, but we want them to know that we have their backs too. Like we like to think like Joaquin.
Yes.
We like to think like a 17-year-old kid that is pissed off because someone is just deciding that this is okay.
Again, you have a petition up at thelostclass.com. That's where this project is based, so people can see the video and share it from there, and sign the petition, which I did first thing this morning. And I know it was just the page was going so fast that I couldn't even keep up with the names as they were scrolling by. So
it's incredible.
It's making
it's
a real
like a
impact.
Life thing. It's like a life. It's incredible. I've never seen that, by the way. We have done many campaigns for the first time. Last night I was reading email after email after email, supporting what we did. But I'm talking about gun owners. I'm talking about veterans. I'm talking about people that you might think that they won't approve your ideas and ethical principles. They do. So we are learning a lot out of this campaign. There's more people on our side than what we think. And the NRA and the gun industry and the gun lobby are not as powerful as they look.
Great. And we need to keep showing them that they are little, they're small, they're impotent, and that, you know, a creative person can pull this off and make such, just put out such a message, a very, very powerful message that everybody needs to hear, and done in such an amazing, moving way. Again, this blew me away, and that's why I had to reach out to you. Thanks to Igor Volsky of Guns Down, who's been on this program many times. In fact, they put on a rally of sorts outside the Walmart in Parkland a couple of years ago when the news broke that they were going to stop carrying ammunition, I think. And I was there, and I met you there very briefly. I got to say hello.
I remember that. And that was also, I was holding Joaquin's video games that day, because the whole point is that Walmart, they were blaming it on the video games as part of a problem. The argument was that video games are making our youth very, crazy almost. The mental health was based on how aggressive these video games will turn our kids. So I said, and I can say it again, that the video games industry is one of the biggest markets in the whole world. And I guess that consumers of video games in Japan and in United Kingdom and in Australia and New Zealand are as many as in the United States. However, they don't have access to guns.
Right.
So I remember that day. Igor is a good friend, a great guy,
he really is.
I love him. So he's one of those warriors that is by our side. So good for him. He's doing a great job.
Yes, he is. And you and Patricia are as well. I can't imagine the loss of a child, especially in a manner like this. You have obviously taken that and channeled it into trying to help young people so that they don't meet the same fate that your son did. And I commend you so much. I've seen some pictures of your work with Change the Ref, and you are working with young people. And I guess it's got to be very rewarding and make you feel like you're doing something productive. So thank you for that.
Connecting with the kids is always a nice feeling. Patricia loves it, and the kids love Patricia. And the kids are badass. So they like when they see a grown up acting in a badass way and being rebel and not following rules just because they are there, but because they're not fair.
Right.
This is thinking like a teenager that has the right to enjoy life, the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
And living, which should be way more important than the right to bear arms or a well-regulated militia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Manuel Oliver, thank you so much for coming on today. I just felt like I had to talk to you after watching that video because it so moved me.
Thank you.
And I had to share it with everyone. And I had to thank you for doing it and congratulate you because there are so many different elements rolled into that. And you created such a powerful message that everybody needs to see. So I hope everybody shares it. Again, go to thelostclass.com. That's where you can find the video. You can share it. You can sign the petition because we do need universal background checks. That's the least of what we need. We need to get rid of those guns. We need another assault weapons ban, this time permanent, and more. But this is, you know, the first step, I guess, towards from today on. You have a lot of friends here, even many that you've never met and don't know, but we know you, and it's a pleasure now to meet you in person. And my heart goes out to you and Patricia.
Thank you, Nicole. Yeah. It's a pleasure being in your program.
Thank you so much. And
great.
Thank you. We'll talk again.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Wow. It's hard to move on from that because I have sort of known that man for 4 years now, although we met once in front of that Walmart when there was that gun rally, that anti-gun rally in front of the Walmart. I'm a little emotional, but we should be. My neighborhood lost 17 people, and another 17 were injured, and they don't talk about them. But the damage that an AR-15 does to the human body is horrific. And so you hear about the people who lost their lives, rightfully so, but we don't spend enough time talking about those who were injured, who were horribly injured, who will feel the effects of that day every day for the rest of their lives. And the fact that if you look at the last couple of weeks, these gun shooting incidents have been on the rise to the point where there are two or three or four in a day. Madness. It is absolute madness. And it's got to stop. Check out, do some research. And Manuel Oliver, he's a brilliant artist. So if go to thelostclass.com, but also go to changetheref.org. I'll put all the links on the blog at nicolesandler.com/6-24-21. That'll help you get there. But, this is a man who was a prolific and successful artist before his life was turned upside down in 2018. And now he's using his talents to help try to change the world in a better way. I have so much respect for that man. And my heart just goes out to him and his wife. All right. Wow. This is going to be a weird segue, but we got to get Howie Klein on the line. So take a deep breath and let's move on.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hi, Howie.
Hello, Nicole.
Hey, sorry I'm late, but I warned you. I told you.
I've been working, and I know what you were doing was very important.
Right, and what an amazing man Manuel Oliver is. I don't know that I'd be standing if my daughter was in that school and was killed. I don't know that I could have survived that. And he's got not only survived, but he's using his talents in such an important, productive, and meaningful way. That video, I know I put it out this morning, and you were one of the first to retweet it, so I know you saw it. How powerful was that?
Oh, my God. Really, like, incredible. I mean, who would have seen that coming?
Right. Right. So, and again, this is my neighborhood. And so I've known him. I feel like I know him. But we had never really had a conversation. I met him once. I shook his hand once, but we didn't really get to talk. So this is the first time I spoke to him. And the emotions are raw. And I got to tell you, what he said is, the community, Parkland, by the way, there's Parkland and Coral Springs. Parkland is the more, the wealthier, the bigger, more expensive homes are in Parkland. And apparently the community, the Parkland community, wants to move on because it's not good for property values. Well, fuck that shit. I'm sorry. This happened
not
there.
For property values.
Yeah. No, do you believe that? And that's such a Parkland thing, so. I'm glad that he also has that attitude, kind of, a fuck that shit kind of attitude. I don't give a damn about the property values. And also, businesses still have the big MSD Strong banners hanging in their windows and stuff. So they want to, take part in the community-minded, let's all come together thing. But again, there's that icky business money side of it that needs to just stop. You know what I'm saying? He was talking about the banners that local businesses can buy banners that hang on the fences around the schools. And sure enough, they're there on Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. And that, to me, is kind of, I don't know, sacrilegious. It's kind of ugly. But so interesting day today, Howie Klein. So I wake up and I, you know, first thing I see is this building collapse on Miami Beach, which is terrifying. You heard, you saw this, right?
Yes.
And who knows what brought that down, but that's frightening. And then I watch this video and it brings up a whole floodgate of emotions. But then there's other stuff going on too. So I got to ask you,
I've been following the hearings that ended today, but started yesterday.
The antitrust markup?
15 months ago, about the antitrust big tech investigation.
Right. So
and
tell
it's
us.
It's been amazing. So they did this, like I said, this has been going on for 16 months. They really worked hard on it. It's the most bipartisan thing I've ever seen. I mean, and the funny, of important bills. The thing that's amazing is that it was bipartisan in terms of who was supporting it, but also bipartisan in who was opposing it.
Right.
Because you have, you know, the sort of the mainstreamish, very corrupt Republicans, like who are around McCarthy, who are just about like power and money.
Right.
They're against it. They don't want anyone interfering. But on the other hand, the Republican Party, the grassroots, is so angry with big tech because of, you know, them throwing Trump off Twitter and
Facebook and everything else. Right.
So because of that anger, this is a very, very popular thing. So a lot of Republicans are for it. And that includes the lunatics. So the lunatic fringe likes it, but also a lot of just like, you know, mainstream Republicans who actually see what's wrong with, you know, with these antitrust issues. Because if you want to talk about having competition in any real sense, which the Republican Party supposedly stands for,
right.
If you want business competition, you can't have, you know, companies like Google and Facebook dominating across platforms and buying out not just buying out, but also disadvantaging their rivals. So anyway, the 16-month investigation and questioning people all the way at the top, even like, you know, guys like Bezos, it led to a report and then six individual bills. And all six of them passed today. Yesterday.
Really?
Today.
Now, I got to ask you, did my congressman do the right thing?
Well, we'll see if Congress will. I think it'll pass the House. Whether it's, McConnell will no doubt censor it. There are definitely, filibuster it.
Right.
There are definitely people in Republicans in the Senate who like it.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see which Democrats go against it. I mean, Amy Klobuchar, I'm not a big fan of, she's a big fan of this bill, and she's running around really hard and pushing it.
Good.
It'll be an interesting thing to see what happens once it gets to the Senate, because there are definitely Democrats, you know, all the progressives are for it, of course, obviously, but, you know, some of the more conservative Democrats, especially some of the Democrats who take massive amounts of money from big tech, they're going to be a problem, because big tech is pulling all stops to get this thing killed. They're lobbyists. This is all their lobbyists want to talk about. You want to be our friends. You want us to continue donating to you. You know, this has to be stopped. I mean, to them, this is like the end of the world, even though it's not. And in the long run, it'll help them. But, you know, they don't want to hear that.
Right. But Howie, the other day, so this was in the House Judiciary Committee. That's where they did the markups. And that's what it passed out of.
Started in the antitrust subcommittee.
Right.
It went to David Cicilline is the chairman of, and Pramila Jayapal is the vice chairman.
Ah, nice.
So that's where the 16 months comes in. They're the ones that have been working on it. And then Nadler liked it, so he brought it into the full committee for a vote today and yesterday. Some of the bills passed yesterday, some of them passed today.
Cool.
And then it goes to Congress, to the floor of Congress, with a recommendation that Congress pass it.
Right. Now, no, what I was asking was the other day you sent me a message and said, can you talk to your congressman, Ted Deutch, because he's not on board with this. So I tweeted at him. He still at the end, he didn't vote for it. Or do you know?
I'm not 100% sure He voted on, I know yesterday he voted yes, but those are the easy bills that everybody's for.
Uh-huh.
So that wasn't the problem. The problem was there's two bills, one by Cicilline and one by Jayapal, and those two bills can be used to break up big tech monopolies. If they keep breaking the rules and they keep undermining competition, those two bills are the ones that can be used to break them up. And those are the ones, of course, that the lobbyists are going nuts over. It's really, they didn't care that much about the other ones, but those two. And those two passed, but there was a flurry of amendments at the last minute that would kill them.
Huh.
And I'm not 100% sure where Deutsch was on that.
Okay.
I mean, we'll know later today, but it hasn't been published yet.
I gotcha. All right. Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, I tweeted at him, and then of course I had to tag it with "Stop hanging out with the new Dems and blue dogs." So they're a bad influence on him.
Yes, yes, those are the people who were putting through those amendments today.
Right. Oh God. Ay, ay, ay. All right. So that happened. Then today we also get the news that there's a deal, and there's a deal. It's a deal on infrastructure. Okay, but it's part of it. It's got to be.
By the way, if there's a deal, that implies there's parties. Who? It's a deal between who and who?
Between five Democrats, five Republicans, and the White House.
No.
No.
That yes, but five conservative Democrats.
And
five conservative Republicans and a conservative White House.
Yes, that's who the deal is.
So how come there was not one progressive included? How come the deal is only a bunch of corrupt conservatives? That's the deal.
Yeah, good question. Because they're the ones who got together. And there's Kyrsten Sinema, who gets her stuff with her, you know, her sleeveless thing. Now, it's one thing I'm sitting here in my house and doing a radio show. She's in the fucking Senate. I'm sorry. Dress appropriately. I'm not a prude, but she's dressed. It's like Kayleigh McEnany, who used to wear these ridiculous outfits in the White House briefing room. You're in the Senate. You're visiting the White House. Dress appropriately. Okay, that's...
Everybody was commenting on her dress
really?
Today, and that's what she wants. Her whole thing is getting attention.
Ugh.
That's the thing. I want attention. And she got attention.
Wow.
That was... She wore that dress to get attention, and here you are talking about
it. Everything about her just rubs me the wrong way. I hope Arizona just sends her packing. But she's not even up until 24, so we're stuck with her right now. But anyway, so they make this
Arizona
deal.
Progressives are already organizing against her in a very big way.
Good.
I mean, I mean 10 of them were arrested in front of her.
Her house. I saw that.
Yeah, it was her house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There is... you know, there will be I don't think she can win a primary at this point. Now, things may change, but at this point, she would lose a primary.
Good. Good. She needs to be taught a lesson. She makes my skin curl. As much as I don't like Joe Manchin, that's Joe Manchin. He's always been that way. But she's just offensive.
Rational. He's a rational player. She's not.
Right.
I mean, I think, you know, he's already said he's going to go for the... reconciliation. He said today that he said it was inevitable.
Right.
Seems to, you know, I think that's a sign that he's going to vote for it.
Because
if he doesn't, it's not inevitable.
That's true.
But her, you know, God, you know, what a surprise it's going to be when they have Joe Manchin. They think everything's going to happen. It's going to all pass. And she says no.
Right. Oh my God. Oh, my God. Yes.
The only people who won't be surprised are people who are listening to our little radio show here.
Yeah. Well, no, even I think other people know. She's got to know. She can't think that she's popular. She can't think that she's all of a sudden going to be.
No, she's a martyr. She doesn't. It's not popularity necessarily that she's looking for. She's looking for attention. I mean, you see those wigs that she wears? She wears a different color wig every day. I think she may have stopped now. She's a lunatic.
Wow.
I know her for 10 years.
I know her
more than just like a politician. And she's insane. She's like a crazy person.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So that there that happened today. And then Nancy Pelosi finally says, it's with a heavy heart that I say we're going to have a select committee to investigate the January 6th attack. Come on. I mean, and first, you know, earlier this week, it's going to happen. Then, oh, no, she didn't say it's going to happen. She said she's going to decide whether or not it's going to happen. Like, what? Just do it. When the Republicans said, no, don't investigate us because we're guilty as hell, then you have your own thing. They did Benghazi for 3 or 4 years and spent millions of dollars on, I'm sorry, three people lost their lives, and that's terrible. But this didn't warrant 3 years of investigations and hearings, and this does.
But McCarthy himself said, we destroyed Hillary Clinton with those hearings. That was their purpose.
Of course.
They didn't have any other purpose. That was it.
Right. That's
and
it.
And they think that's what the Democrats want to do now. Destroy, I don't know who, Lauren Boebert or Donald Trump. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're doing a good job of that by themselves. I think they're doing a good job of that on their own by themselves. They don't need us to destroy them.
Well,
but,
in our world, they are. But, you know,
right.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who admire these people.
Right.
And that's awful. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, if this thing, what they should do is get really, really good people on the committee. And that already isn't her first instinct. Her first instinct is to always to like balance it according to, you know, identity politics. Let's make sure we have, people of color. Let's make sure we have an equal number of women. Let's make sure there's gay people on this thing. Let's make sure we have, some Catholics and some Protestants and some Jews. I mean, this is what she thinks. She's not in her head thinking, who would be the best person that's going to make this thing get on TV, for example? Maybe
right.
She should think that. Like, if you have someone who's on fire, who knows how to speak, you put them on this thing, and it's going to be compelling news, and people will cover it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have some dumb, I shouldn't say dumb, but if you have someone who's not compelling, no one's going to want to cover it. That's what's going to happen.
Yep.
Well, just watch her. And they asked today who's going to be the chairman, and she wouldn't announce it. She knows who it's going to be. She said she's thinking about it, but I'm positive she knows who it's going to be because I know who it's going to be. It's not someone who anyone's going to want to watch on TV.
Oh, really? So who do you think it's going to be?
It's going to be Benny Thompson.
Oh, God. Yeah, you know, and I saw his name floated, and you're right. He is the wrong person. He may be a good guy. He might be a good congressman, but he's not the most articulate, and that's what you need. I'm sorry. You need a Jamie Raskin. That's what you need.
You got it.
Yep.
Jamie Raskin would be great. Ted Lieu would be great.
Yep.
You need people who know how to make a sentence and that catches on fire that everybody retweets.
Yep.
You need that.
I know.
And I don't understand what she's thinking. You know?
I never understood what she's thinking.
The only reason that I keep hearing that he's going to be the chairman is because the Congressional Black Caucus wants that.
Right.
What kind of bullshit is that? That is complete bullshit.
It really is.
Never mind.
No.
It's just hopeless. It's just absolutely hopeless.
I hear you. Well, maybe we should all bombard her with emails. Not Benny Thompson, please. Although,
yeah, but, on the other hand, Benny Thompson is a good guy.
Uh-huh.
He's not a bad person
no.
in any way, and he votes well, and
right.
he represents his constituents
yep.
well. This is just not the job for him.
We need charismatic.
He's chairman of a very important He's the chairman of a very important committee. He does a decent job, but you don't see them on TV.
Right.
This has to be on TV, or it has to be on the radio, and it has to be covered. People have to be talking about it, there's still important work to do, and they will do that important work, and that is very, very important. But
he's the wrong guy to lead the committee.
What you would like to see, what I would like to see, what I'm sure all of our listeners would like to see, is for people who aren't convinced that this was an actual coup attempt, an actual insurrection. For, you know, there are millions and millions of Americans who don't believe that.
Right, and you need someone who can convince them.
Yeah, the only way they'll be convinced is to have someone who, like Jamie, who's articulate, who can make that kind of case and do it in such a way that the news will want to cover it.
Yep.
That even Fox might want to cover it, although you know, that won't happen.
That won't happen, yeah.
Well, probably not.
Right. They'll cover it when their side puts on a guest, you know, a witness or something. Anyway, well, we have all that to look forward to. Ay, ay, ay. I hope she has a... I hope she reconsiders because she does, you know, this is a job for a really good, I hate to say it, lawyer. Somebody knows who knows how to construct a great argument and present it in a theatrical way that grabs people's attention. You're absolutely right.
And she's so into this seniority bullshit yep. that she winds up getting people who are, you know, semi-senile. And I'm not saying that he is. I don't know him.
Right.
But, you know... If, you know, she, and you know, if with this identity politics and the seniority kind of stuff, she always winds up with the wrong people. She wants somebody who knows how to speak and who's brilliant and who can make a case. There are lots of people. You know, we said Jamie, we said Ted Lieu. How about Mondaire Jones?
I was just thinking about him. He's great.
Joe Neguse on fire.
Oh, he's awesome. What's his name? Raja Krishnamurthy is great. Every time I hear him speak, he does a great job.
Believe me, he wants on. He's running for. He wants to run for the Senate.
Does he?
So he definitely would like to be on this committee.
Sure.
I mean, this committee could be like an amazing committee, but you know she's going to appoint people who she has an agenda about. You know, there'll be people like Val Demings.
Ay, ay, ay.
Val Demings. What did she have? She has nothing to offer. Nothing. Zero.
No.
Absolutely zero.
Nothing.
You get a guy like Mondaire Jones on there, and the whole country will know who he is.
That's right.
He is on fire.
He's awesome.
That's, you know, but she doesn't think that way. She thinks like, oh, yes, well, you know, we want to build up someone's career, whoever it's going to be, and I'll put them on there.
Yeah, thanks so much.
No abilities and nothing to offer.
Right, so she builds up Val Demings, and now we're looking at her like she's going to run against death sentence? She's running against Macro, Rubio. She's running for Senate. But really, I mean, she's building up the wrong people is what I'm trying to say, clumsily.
That's Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, oh, old Sage Joe, Katie Porter would be great. She'd be fucking awesome.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Just imagine that.
With her whiteboard. Go. Yes, Katie Porter. Let's lobby for Katie Porter to head this committee.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's tweet.
Let's do it. All right. Everybody tweet. Katie Porter to head the select committee on January 6th. All right. Howie Klein, I've run long because I got to you late. As always, thank you. And we'll talk next week. Okay, bye. Got really noisy, weirdly noisy. All right, so there's Howie. It's Thursday. Tomorrow, we're going to wrap. Tomorrow, there's so much going on. Tomorrow, Derek Chauvin's sentencing is tomorrow. The cop who killed George Floyd, sentenced tomorrow. Supreme Court may announce its final cases. Well, probably not because there are eight left. But we could get their decision on voting rights. That's the biggie left. So that's happening. They'll certainly pass down some opinions tomorrow. I would guess half of them, and then we'll get the rest of them on Monday, perhaps. And I have to get my teeth cleaned tomorrow, but I'll be here. I'll be back in time for the show, and Dave Johnson will join us to go through just everything that's happening. All right. With that, I'm going to leave you with the news, and I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. And do go to thelostclass.com and share that video. And then tweet to Nancy Pelosi that Katie Porter's got to head this committee. All right? Okay. There's your homework. I'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I'm based in South Florida, so we'll start today with breaking news from Surfside, a community just north of Miami Beach, where a huge section of a 12-story oceanfront condo collapsed overnight. Firefighters used ladders to rescue some people from their balconies in part of the building that was still standing. At least one person, a boy, was pulled from the rubble. The building, which was built in 1981, has more than 80 apartments. It's still not clear how many were occupied at the time of the collapse. And no word yet on what could have caused a building to just fall down. From there, it makes sense to move on to infrastructure.
Republicans and Democrats have come together along with the White House, and we've agreed on a framework, and we're going to be heading to the White House tomorrow.
Mitt Romney, Wednesday night. He's one of the group that's been working on a compromise. A meeting with the president is set for Thursday to hammer out the details. But big questions remain, like whether enough Republicans will support it and whether progressive Democrats will get behind it. They reportedly still plan to support the bipartisan bill if they can also pass a larger companion bill through the reconciliation process. A big sticking point is how to pay for it. Republicans had objected to Joe Biden's plan to pay for it by raising corporate taxes, and Biden rejected a Republican proposal to raise gas taxes. Well, the next phase begins. A judge on Wednesday handed down the first sentence related to the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. Anna Morgan Lloyd, a 49-year-old woman from Indiana, pleaded guilty to a single misdemeanor for trespassing inside the Capitol. She described it on Facebook as, quote, the best day ever. Well, she avoided jail time. She was given 3 years probation. She must perform 40 hours of community service and pay $500 in restitution. But the judge, Royce Lamberth, said that some members of the public might not agree with the break I'm giving you. He went on to warn that other defendants charged with participating in the insurrection shouldn't take away that probation is the automatic outcome here. All righty then. Meanwhile, an alleged member of the Oath Keepers pleaded guilty to charges related to the insurrection as well, marking the first plea deal among the Capitol riot cases against extremist groups. The Oath Keepers is a far-right group of largely ex-military and law enforcement that organize paramilitary training and attendance at political events. A handful of others have also filed guilty pleas, admitting their roles in the riot. President Biden on Wednesday announced an initiative to counter violent crime, which fell in the early months of the pandemic, but has recently been on the rise. Biden's plan includes providing more resources to police departments, increasing spending on community violence intervention programs, and cracking down on gun sellers who violate federal laws, such as failing to run background checks. The president said the federal government was, quote, taking on the bad actors doing bad things to our communities.
Zero tolerance for gun dealers who willfully violate key existing laws and regulations. If you willfully sell a gun to someone who's prohibited from possessing it, if you willfully fail to run a background check, if you willfully falsify a record, if you willfully fail to cooperate with the tracing request or inspections, we'll find you and we will seek your license to sell guns. We'll make sure you can't sell death and mayhem on our streets.
He finished by saying, it's an outrage and we'll end it. President Biden also called for expanding summer employment and services, particularly for teens and young adults, and supporting former prisoners who are re-entering their communities. Biden also announced that he's ordering ATF to pull the licenses of any gun dealers who peddle guns illegally and said he'll work with state officials to hold gun makers accountable for mayhem caused by their weapons. He said, this is not a time to turn our backs on law enforcement. The Supreme Court on Wednesday issued another four rulings on its sprint to the end of the session next week. In a much-anticipated decision, they ruled that a Pennsylvania school district violated the First Amendment rights of a Pennsylvania high school cheerleader, saying Brandi Levy's constitutional right to free speech was violated by punishing her for a vulgar Snapchat message that she sent expressing her disappointment about her failure to make the varsity cheerleading squad. The justices said school systems needed to be able to step in to prevent bullying and threats, but that courts could not limit how administrators can punish speech outside of school. It was an 8-1 decision. Only Clarence Thomas dissented. Go figure. Justice Stephen Breyer, writing for the majority, said, quote, America's public schools are the nurseries of democracy. Our representative democracy only works if we protect the marketplace of ideas, end quote. Michigan's Republican-led Senate Oversight Committee issued a report Wednesday saying that there was no evidence of widespread or systematic fraud in that state's 2020 election. Go figure. The findings rejected allegations by the former guy and his allies that the state was stolen from him. But Michigan Republicans are still pushing bills to overhaul the state's election laws, with such changes as requiring voters to submit IDs or only being allowed to cast provisional ballots, restricting hours for drop-off ballots, and more. Democrats say the measures are part of a Republican strategy being used in many states to prevent people, particularly voters of color, from voting in the 2022 elections. If you're wondering why you keep seeing calls to free Britney, it's because the pop star Britney Spears on Wednesday appeared in court virtually, asking for the court to end the conservatorship that's been in place for 13 years. Spears told Judge Brenda Penny that it has been, quote, abusive and traumatizing, that she's been deprived of her autonomy over her own body, and worse. The 39-year-old has been under a conservatorship since 2008, with her father, Jamie Spears, controlling her life and her $60 million fortune. At Spears' request, the hearing was made public. She addressed the court by telephone, spoke for about 30 minutes, and ended by telling the judge she wanted the conservatorship to end. This type of situation happens more often than we know, and it's a travesty and a tragedy. And finally, big showdown in a House Armed Services Committee hearing. General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the highest-ranking U.S. military officer in the nation, put Matt Gaetz in his place after the hopefully soon-to-be former congressman assailed him with talking points about critical race theory and other nonsense being spewed by the right. In a clip that's now gone viral, Milley taught him a lesson.
I've read Mao Zedong. I've read Karl Marx. I've read Lenin. That doesn't make me a communist. So what is wrong with understanding, having some situational understanding about the country for which we are here to defend? And I personally find it offensive that we are accusing the United States military, our general officers, our commissioned, non-commissioned officers, of being, quote, woke or something else because we're studying some theories that are out there.
Gaetz responded in typical fashion. He shook his head, sneered, and later tweeted out an insult that he then deleted. Why is this guy still in office? And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports, I hope you'll check out the Nicole Sandler Show. It airs here on the Progressive Voices Network weekday afternoons at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. And if you can't catch it live, check it out anytime at NicoleSandler.com.